Meditation today is in Psalm 48. Please turn there with me. Psalm 48, we'll note the subscription or superscription because it's on top, not at the bottom. We see that it is a song and a psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. For behold, the kings assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs. As when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen. In the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, and go all around her. Count her towers, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even to death. Well, the first thing I want to start with, and this isn't something we normally do, but every once in a while Larry and I will do so, is to point out something in the superscription. In Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, we have the people of God enjoined to be using psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And it's interesting that our friends, our brothers and sisters in other denominations try to use this as some sort of establishing a scripture warrant for the use of hymns. In the Greek, the word spiritual is an adjective. And in the construction there, it's spread over psalms, hymns, songs. The word spiritual there in the Greek almost always means not something that has to do with the spirit world or with religious thoughts as opposed to more secular stuff. No, it means given by or of the Spirit. Spirit-given psalms, Spirit-given hymns, Spirit-given songs. It doesn't just modify songs, but psalms and hymns. There are three different types of biblical song. It's just like Peter on the day of Pentecost, telling the people there assembled in front of them that Jesus was attested to them by signs and miracles and wonders. They're all the same sort of thing with slight differences in nuance of the meaning of the words, and so it is here. And we notice this particular psalm is both a psalm and a song. It's both a God-given, inspired, given out by the Spirit of God song or spiritual song, and it is a spiritual psalm. Now then, it is about the beauty of the Church of Jesus Christ and the wonder of the God of the covenant of grace. That is what Psalm 48 is about, very quickly. We know, for example, in Revelation chapter 21, when the bride of the Lamb appears, it is the city of the New Jerusalem descending from heaven. Jerusalem, Zion, is a type. It was, it is even now, physically speaking, a real city. But when it was, in the days before our Jesus came, in the days before our Jesus finished his work, it and the temple within it were typical. They were a picture of the people of God. And that is spun out here, we might say, as the Lord moved the sons of Korah to do so, to be showing the beauty, the glory, the strength of the people of God and the glory of the covenant God of those people. So we see Jehovah, the covenant God, being ascribed as great and greatly to be praised. Where? Right in the middle of his people. Right in the middle of his people. In the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, or as the old King James has it, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. And that just goes back to Psalms, to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. So often, as Larry delights to point out and does well in doing so, so often the Psalms are grouped together. They're not here in some random order. And so this links back. The Spirit of God made whoever it was that compiled the full psalm book, had these linked together this way. This beautiful place, the people of God, has been attacked. That's what it looks like here in verses 4 through 7. It's been attacked. And this has led some people to think, well, this was sometime during some big attack from the heathens in the time of, say, David, or maybe it was Jehoshaphat, maybe it was Ahaz, maybe it was Hezekiah with the Assyrians, but we don't know. Let's be clear that if we're looking at things in their typical way, if we are looking to see the antitype here, this is the attacks of the kings of the earth upon the city of God, and that has always, always happened. We see this back in Psalm 2, where the nations and the kings, they confederate together against God's Messiah and against his people. The kings of the earth continue to do this. They confederate, they plot, they scheme together to attack the city of God. But always it ends up disastrously for them, and always it shall. The attacks that we are feeling and the pressure that is increasing on us here in our own land, and that is far worse for fellow believers in other places, is nothing new. It's nothing new, nor is it something that was unexpected. We were told of this by our Lord Jesus himself and in other places in the Word. But what always happens is the kings blanch, the kings swiftly turn about and gallop away in terror. And that is the picture we have in verse 6. And in verse 7, the picture of a mighty fleet being wrecked upon the shores by a storm. The people in England in the late 1500s and 1588 could have related to this. And in Scotland and in Ireland, as the Spanish fleet, the invincible armada, littered the coasts with broken, huge warships as storms brought by God himself brought them to be beached and to be destroyed. And so the people of God are led to meditate on something here in verse 8. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, or of Jehovah Sabaoth. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever. And that is the case, of course. We've seen that. We've heard that too. We've been taught about it, and we have seen it in our own experience. God upholds his people. His king, whom he has set on his holy hill, as we see in Psalm 2, is the one who reigns over all things, not the kings of earth. He is the one who reigns over all and protects his people, protects his city, protects his bride, the Lamb's wife. Well, it is a place to stop. It is a place to think, and that's what we did in our reading, and that's what we'll do here. The psalmists, the sons of Korah, stopped to think, and that's what they say there in verse 9. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness. Children, we've been using that word a lot lately when looking in Isaiah. We've been talking about his goodness, and a couple of parts of that. We've talked about his mercy, his grace, his love and kindness, right? And here's a word that we don't use too often, but the Bible does sometimes, that puts those last two together. Not just love and kindness, but loving kindness, all right? We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness. Where? In the midst of your temple. It is there where we see God's loving kindness in Old Testament days portrayed. There we see one who is set apart by God to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people, pointing to the work of Jesus Christ. We see the sacrifices for sin being offered there in the temple, speaking again of Jesus' work there at the cross. We see the ongoing work showing that it is something that doesn't really take care of things, but that the people of old had to wait for the fulfillment. They had to wait for the reality and not depend upon the shadow. The loving kindness was shown there in the midst of the temple, and it was according to his name. That is, to the name Jehovah. I am that I am. I, Jehovah, change not. Therefore you are not destroyed, O people of God. That we have in Malachi 3:6. The name which was proclaimed before Moses, there in the crack that we can read about in Exodus 34. So according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. He is a God, we can kind of sum up, who is the judge, the righteous, holy, just judge of the wicked, but who shows mercy, grace, love, kindness, loving kindness to his people. He gives forgiveness of sin. All this is together. All this is together. That is part of God's name, and that gives praise in the heart of God's people. So the praise goes to the end of the earth. His right hand, that one there, is full of righteousness. He is righteous, and he gives one to be the righteous substitute for the sins of his people in giving them Jesus, who is the end of the law for righteousness. Well, as we think about our just God dealing justly and graciously and wisely with sin, Mount Zion rejoices. We rejoice to see sin being dealt with. We rejoice in the fact that God forgives it and judges and destroys those who are his enemies. Mount Zion rejoices. The daughters of Judah are glad because of God's judgments. Judgments that fall upon Christ in the place of his people. Judgments that fall upon the wicked who persist in their sin. Well now, with this city established, with this city protected, with this city beloved, we can now go about and look at it. We can look at it and exalt in its strength, not of itself, but its strength that is given to it by God. And as we rejoice over its power, its strength, its symmetry and beauty, why, all glory goes to God. Now, some of you have seen beautiful pictures of beautiful cities. Maybe you have seen photographs on the internet at sunrise or sunset with a beautiful sky behind them. Maybe it's been on a beautiful, sunshiny, clear day, and the sunshine just beaming down, and the blue sky gives a glory over that city. Or perhaps you've seen a stunning nighttime shot with perhaps stars glinting in the background and all the multicolored and multiform city lights all about. It is beautiful to look upon. And of course, no place is more beautiful than home. No place is more beautiful than home. If you go to Facebook, any of you who use it, there is a Facebook site for Bell Center called You Know You're From Bell Center F, and the top photograph there is an aerial shot, and there it is, Bell Center from the air, from a light aircraft, and it's on a beautiful summer evening and just looks like trees, but it's an oasis, it almost looks like. Not that surrounding Richland Township is a desert, no, by no means, but it's a beautiful shot of the home of our congregation. And it's beautiful because it is home. Well, that is part of the beauty here, but we're told to walk about Zion and go all around her, just like Nehemiah did. But the situation's very different. Count her towers. Consider her, mark well her bulwarks. These are towers of strength. Strength that God gives. Consider her palaces. Now these are beautiful. And they glorify the God who really built them. That you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God. That is, it's his doing. Our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to or through death. And in particular, friends, it is the second person of the Godhead. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it isn't him, if we can use such words, merely as the second person of the Godhead, but as the God-man, as the mediator who has done this for his people. As their priest, he has brought them salvation. As their, yes, and as their prophet, he has told them of his person and work. And lastly, as their king, he has established them in strength. He has defeated the kings of the earth, and he has raised them up, raised you up for your delight, your blessing, his delight, and his Father's glory. Well, all this is in Psalm 48. Let us think, let us meditate as we go over it again, maybe in our own homes later today, and as we sing it now. We see the greatness of our covenant God, his gracious provision for his people whom he has beautified, and the strength given to it by our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 48, going to sing from portion A.